welcome. From an Indian summer, San Francisco, this is Wizards of the Cast, episode 111. Tap it once! In a room filled of planeswalkers, we've got Evan Wardell.
I would have preferred the slightly drunken San Francisco to the Indian summer San Francisco.
All right, look, it's a toss-up. We've got Evan we've got Larry Chatfield.
Can I be Evan?
Maybe tonight. And we got myself, Cole Ferriolo, a.k.a. Thopter Master.
I'm just saying, no one's going to see us sweating, but they'll hear us slur our words. So,
you know, I'm going to say that we stopped in, we saw some friends before the show tonight. We don't need to go into more detail. We just only need that jovial times were had. And now we're going to talk about Magic, because guess what? We all played Magic this past week.
We also learned about how to vote, which was fun.
That was good. It's very complicated in San Francisco.
First we learned how to vote, and then we went to a bar.
This is the thing. Democracy is taken very seriously in the Bay Area. There is a little bit of a blood ritual around it all. I'm not going to say what, but I'm just saying that there's a lot of propositions.
Like, if you're not circumcised, you will be.
By the end of it.
By the end of the voting system.
Anyways.
Process.
We all learned how to vote. We all had a couple of drinks. And now we're recording the podcast. And we're happy to welcome you.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm just trying to derail shit. You can continue. I'm
no,
sorry.
I know exactly where you are. But we got a lot to talk about this week. Kaladesh is here. Inventor's Fair is passed. We've got Thopters flying around. We all get to play the format this week. It's really exciting. We all get to do some limited.
We all played Magic. Like, when's the last time we all played Magic in a week?
It's been a while for me, honestly. But you guys have been blazing along. And I'm interested to know what some of the differences of the new format versus kind of Eldritch Moon / SOI.
It's a different format.
Exactly. Where Magic is going. We got a whole rotation.
Astute.
Also, did you guys see I finished my Thopter
you did.
Thing?
I did notice you finished your Thopter. It looks super good.
Don't touch it. It'll fall apart if you put a finger
did
on it.
Did you see the ones that they had at Versus Games? They had like the carrier and like the massive ones. It was really cool.
They gave
cool.
the big ones to all the LGSs. They had their...
Yeah.
Because like, you know, Gamescape had them as well.
Yes. Yeah. It was really cool. I do not envy the store employee who was put in charge of building it.
That's what I was just going to say. Can you imagine the person who like has to like give in that task and he's like, fuck, hate this idea.
I like to think that since maybe since there were less of them that had to be made, maybe they were made with a slightly higher level of
instruction.
Just not bullshitness. Like, maybe they just weren't made out of like crappy cardboard paper or something.
I have one word for you: lies. Right. There's no chance that like someone was sitting there going, "God, I'm so glad I got this this task."
Well, at least they're a little bigger, so like, you know, over a larger sort of piece of paper, there's less crap to.
That sounds ergonomical. Yeah.
So
I buy it.
Look, when your entire process of connecting two things together is a slit halfway up a piece of paper and another slit halfway up another piece of paper, if that's your entire system of like joining two things together, the further away those slits are from each other, the better the whole thing goes. Like, the full fucking problem with those Thopters is there's a million tiny little bits that all kind of have to, like, jam into each other. And they get all bound up and, like, moved around. But if you get a big thing, then I feel like it's not as much
there's
of a problem.
There's a little give, is what you're
there's
saying.
A little give, yeah. Okay. The badly connected middle part won't totally fuck up the connection you have to make at the back of the thing.
We call that the stern.
The stern, all right.
At the very least, it was better than the damn boxes.
Starboard. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I didn't experience the boxes, but I did experience some sealed event on Tuesday night.
Some sealed event.
I played a little sealed. It was good. Evan, you played a little draft. Actually, why don't we start with you? Because I'm more interested.
Are we going to start?
I bummed I didn't get into draft.
Draft, go.
Because that's... You know, to me, what I feel like is the meat and potatoes of the format. Like, granted, sealed is going to be very much where you're going to play at tournament level, and so we're going to talk about that a little bit later. But I'd love to dive right in into Evan and what your draft experience was at
the
Versus
draft
Games
was
recently.
Fun.
Yeah.
So, I'm trying to think of how to preface this whole thing. I did pretty well. I lost a close game three in the finals. I went 2-0.
Nice.
In games in each of my matches for match one and two, and then actually that might not be true. I can't remember.
Anyways,
I felt pretty good about my deck.
You felt confident about your deck. What were you playing? What color combination?
Black white. I was mostly like mono white with a couple black cards.
Did you do this also in the pre-release? You also played a black white artifact deck?
I played black blue.
Okay, black blue artifacts.
Mostly, it was like 9, 7, and 7 blue black artifact.
Okay.
In my pre-release, so I had a lot of artifacts.
Right, it's like a third color for you.
Yeah, it was like a third color.
Or colorless.
There we go.
Which just made it better because, you know, it made the mana way easier on my deck in the pre-release. But this time, so I first picked one of our Cracksack and Berry contestants last week, Cultivator's Caravan.
Or as I like to call it, bifurcated penis.
Yeah, bifurcated penis barge.
Bifurcated penis barge. That is one and only that you could get on Wizards of the Ghast. Anyways, how was it for you?
I don't know. It didn't really come out. I just never drew it.
It never got erect in the game?
Well, the time that it was the best was when it was the most boring because I played it on turn 3 and then played a 5 drop on turn 4.
Yep.
Because it's basically a 3 mana rock.
Yeah.
That you can also crew 3 and turn it into a 5/5.
What was the 5 drop that you played? This is like a
Well, let me tell you. It was the most. It was Angel of Invention, which is the most broken card I had in my deck. 3 white for a 2/1 flying vigilance lifelink with fabricate 2, and then other creatures you control get +1/+1.
It seems like every card has this. Oh, here's this cool thing it does. Oh, and by the way, it's got this other ability. And just for the record, it also has a third random like static ability too. And you're like, what the hell?
This card is nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so I had a game where I had probably like 5 other creatures, or 3 to 5 other creatures on the battlefield when I cast it. I had played, this was game 3, this was actually game 3 of match 3, which I eventually lost, but it was a crazy back and forth type of game, where I realized my opponent had bounce spells he didn't have bounce spells, but he had a lot of removal spells, so I played my Angel of Invention.
Mm-hmm.
And I made 2 1/1s because I knew he had removal, so I wanted to kind of diversify my threats. You know, if he's going to just kill it, then, you know, at least also have the 1/1s
left over. Which is an interesting thing with the fabricate that I've noticed.
Yeah.
It's instant speed removal. I had this in my game, too.
And he did not have removal, but that's still great because the rest of my team gets +1/+1.
Yeah.
So all my 2/2s are 3/3s. All my... The 1/1 servos are now 2/2s.
Completely wreck combat math.
Yeah. And I was at like 3 life or something when I cast this card. And so this was like, this is my out to stabilize
this
while
is
I try
your climb
to find.
Back.
Yeah, this is how I'm going to climb back
in.
Wow. I got full value out of that. Your team gets +1/+1. I traded up on every single one of my creatures.
Yeah.
And like we got to the end of this whole like long exchange where we had to slog through all my creatures to like start to be able to attack my life total again. And I was like, did I just get full value out of the +1/+1? He's like, yeah, man, you did.
So good.
Yeah.
I mean, he still ended up winning the game, but it was like, I was super impressed after, I mean, anytime the card came out, it was a total house, you know, like if I could make, if my opponent had no cards in his hand, or I just knew he didn't have much interaction, I could just play it as a giant 4/3 flying vigilance lifelink, which is an insane card.
Yeah.
I only did that once, but you know, the other mode is also great.
How many times do you have to hit somebody with that card to be good? Once?
Yeah, once.
Right.
I mean, it's 8-point swing, right? I mean,
yeah.
The mythic rares in this set are beastly. I mean, the Gear Hulks and all that stuff, they all seem
They don't
good.
Seem like super busted like some of the old school ones, though. Like, I mean,
you No, play... they're not Titan level. They're not like completely win the game as soon as they hit the board, but they're...
But like even some of the... I mean, just even think about like, you know, like the gods. Like sometimes you just couldn't beat a god. Like, you know,
it's
like someone had Thassa in their deck and you're like, the hell they do? Like they can give 2 of their guys like unblockable.
Yeah, Thassa was nuts.
Thassa was very pushed. And just the interaction level of those. I think what's nice about these mythics is that they feel like you can still interact with them even after they hit the board, which is questionable about certain mythics in the past, like planeswalkers and things like that.
Yeah, like, but, oh, look, you had your, what was the black things, all your stuff gained lifelink, and then they came bring stuff back.
Whip of Erebus.
Yeah, Whip of Erebus.
Well, that was rare, and that was just a busted card. Yeah. I mean, Whip of Erebus is just.
But that's what I'm saying. They have mythics that are as bad as that. Like,
yeah,
it seems like they're getting a little better at.
At least they're mythics, you know. But yeah, the Angel of Invention was fantastic, and you know, even if it gets killed, you got the 1/1s left over. But at the end of the day, what I kind of came away with was, I kind of, when you do your early drafts and your early events, you're just trying to try a bunch of different cards.
You're kind of freewheeling.
Yeah, you just want to know what's good, what interactions work. I had three in my pool of Ninth Bridge Patrol, the 2-mana 1/1. Whenever another creature you control leaves the battlefield, put a 1/1 counter on Ninth Bridge Patrol. I had three in my pool. I played one in my deck just because I wasn't totally sure how good it would be. It was quite good. I mean, when I got the
Did it get to like a 3/3? How often? Or would it get to a 2/2?
Like, I had one game where I had like 6 1/1 counters on it.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
because when it, like, a creature dies,
Trade off your creatures. I mean, like, it was in a game where my opponent also had the 2-mana 2/1 artifact creature that you can pay a green to give a death touch.
Right.
So they were just staring at each other across the board the whole time, and he knew that when we traded cards, the fact that my creature got bigger didn't matter because he could trade it off with this death touch creature later.
Cobra is legit.
Yeah.
Like, death touch, I think, is an all-star in this format. It's always kind of an all-star in limited. But in this format, which feels a little Batacruiser-y, like where it's like you get a really big threat on the board, Death Touch feels especially good.
The thing about Ninth Bridge Patrol is that it forces your opponent. So when you're on the defensive, you have an advantage in combat. You know, the defender always has the advantage. And having Ninth Bridge Patrol just amplifies that advantage on the defense.
Right.
Because you can not only get better blocks, but maybe you can double block to take down a bigger creature that you otherwise wouldn't be able to. So you end up trading one of your smaller creatures for one of their bigger creatures. And at the same time, after that happens, you put a 1/1 counter on your Ninth Bridge Patrol. Yep. So it like really amplifies that positioning.
Well, also the other thing that's kind of interesting, and we were talking about this earlier, Cole, was that there is a very strong blink component to this set.
Very much in white.
And so, like, you're like, oh, look, you know, I'll blink my Fabricate guy, and it goes away, and then I put a counter on it, and then it comes into play, and then I get another counter or another token, right? So now you get the token, you block with the token, it dies, and then you play your guy, and it goes away and blinks, activates it, comes back, you get another token.
Fabricate, I get the blink mechanic now that I've seen how Fabricate works.
Yeah.
In that it can just spit out dudes or make a big creature.
Yeah, and I think with Ninth Bridge Patrol, and this is like all in white, like totally Blink is plays a big thing into in white,
yeah.
Fabricate is a big thing in white, and Ninth Bridge Patrol really like is the extra payoff for doing these two things that like kind of interact in a sort of like mildly synergistic way.
It's interesting because I had a Ninth Bridge Patrol in my sealed pool, and I elected not to play it because I didn't feel like I had enough of that kind of blink ability in my deck.
I'd say do it, especially in sealed. I feel like it's better in sealed.
Yes. Probably because it trades.
Yeah, because you're going to trade a lot in sealed. Yeah. You can kind of sit back and just like let the game kind of take
More stuff that feels like it gets gummed up more.
Yeah, like in sealed, like you have to.
You say that, but then I felt like a lot of games were just, and maybe this is my deck. I played a sealed pool that was blue white. Mostly that was where my rares were and where my, at least I had some white removal. I didn't have a lot of removal in my sealed pool.
There isn't much removal.
A few spells in red, and I splashed red.
Green has all the removal this time around.
There's a lot of fight in green and green combat tricks removal. That are like really good.
So I was watching Marshall draft, and he had a funny comment of like, so the fight is a keyword, right?
Yeah.
Or evergreen, right?
Yeah.
So what is it when they don't actually fight?
It's just like mugging. Pound.
He called it punch.
Punch.
Right. My creature just punches the other one.
No. Look, if
that was close with pound.
If a fight is two creatures dealing damage to each other, when one creature deals just its damage to the other one, it's like a, it's more than a punch.
It's like a curb stomp.
It's like a headbutt. It's like a...
No, it's not even, because there's no recursionary damage dealt on the creature initiating it.
You're hitting him with a hammer.
Yeah. That's pretty much just like hit him with a baseball bat.
Yeah, it's a baseball bat. You're...
yeah, I interesting that you say that, because I noticed that in green too, that there was a lot of this, you know, that what is it, the 2-mana vigilance and trample, fight a dude, is pretty good. They've got hunt the weak too in this format. You know, there's some pacifism.
What rarity are those cards at?
Hunt the Weak's at common.
They're
both common.
Are they both common? Are you sure? The 2-mana one? I think that's an uncommon.
Really?
I think so.
Let me look it up. I'm looking.
2-mana, this guy nugs your guy. That's like not cool at common.
It is definitely uncommon. Okay. Nature's Way.
It's a
sorcery. And it's a sorcery, yeah.
So at least there's that.
So
good. At least it's not a 3-mana instant like it was in the last set, Jesus Christ.
Right.
Clear Shot was fucking insane.
You know what, though? I have to say, the trend of white removal being very good continues in this set. White has, I feel like, some grade A removal in its pacifism ability at 3-mana.
Yeah, that one's great. Impeccable Timing's pretty good.
Pretty good. Fairgrounds Warden is decent.
Yeah, that card's
Skywhaler Shot is very good.
There's that.
Even the combat trick, +2/+2, is like, that definitely worked on me.
The rare
Built to Last.
Captured by the Consulate or whatever.
Right.
That card's crazy, by the way. That if you don't first pick that card, you're just insane.
What is it?
So it's white and 3, and target creature can't attack.
Right. Oh, this
enchant
is the rare.
Enchant creature you don't control. Enchant creature can't attack whenever an opponent casts a spell. If it has a single target, change that target to enchanted creature.
That card is insane.
I watched some guy play that, and look at the guy's hand, and the guy has like a pump spell and a kill spell.
Yeah, like, what are you going to do?
You're like,
I guess I have to kill my own creature so I can at least use this pump spell in a way that matters.
Yeah, the only thing that's bad is it can still block, but still, like, the card is crazy good.
Yeah.
The best thing about that card is that, so when you're left with a pump spell and a kill spell in your hand, that pump spell is useless now.
Yep, completely useless. Dead card.
The kill spell is the better card, but you have to use it
to
kill your creature, because the only way you'll get any value out of either of the two cards in your hand is by blowing the better one on killing your own creature. So at least you can maybe use the pump spell in combat later.
So
brutal.
The guy I was watching had the Riparian Tiger, which is the 4/4 that gets 2 energy, and then you can spend 2 energy and put a +2/+2, and it's got trample.
Yeah.
So he had done that, made it a 6/6, and then the guy put it on there, and the guy had Welding Sparks. He was playing red green.
Yep. So Welding Sparks is legit.
He couldn't kill his own guy because it only had.
Oh no!
He could only do like 4 or 5.
Yeah.
So he's like, not only was it like a dead card, but it's really dead because he can't even use it to kill his own guy.
That's too funny.
Yeah. That's too much. Energy's a real thing. Energy's kind of cool in this format. I played in my blue-white deck. I had, you know, some energy producers. I had the stupid whale. What is it? The
Aether Squall, whatever.
I had the Aether Squall Ancient, which I got to activate. Sorry, it's not a whale. It's a Leviathan.
Leviathan.
I also had...
It's not a sky whale?
Is a Leviathan just a big whale?
It's just a bigger sea monster.
A Leviathan is a nondescript large sea creature.
Yeah. That usually comes with like some like casting of a spell from another plane.
You know what's interesting? I did also have Longfin Sky Whale.
So good.
You know what though? I was a little unimpressed.
It's a 4/3 flyer.
But
for 4 that can only block flyers.
It can only, and you know what? But here's the thing though. That clause, you can only block flyers, actually was kind of like, oh, this means that I'm going to play this on turn 4, turn 5. I'm going to take a bunch of damage next turn. I was often
not
maybe
if you build your deck right, yeah. Idiot.
Shut up. I tried. It sometimes just didn't come out right.
You don't play it in a control deck. You play it in like a regular mid range deck.
Yes.
And when it came out on time and was aggressive, it was great. It was just like swacking.
And when it
components.
Comes out like late in the game, when was, nothing else is happening, it's also insane.
It was good there. When it comes out a little bit behind, you get punished for it. Like that unblockability on the ground thing is definite. I mean, what I noticed in my sealed pool, I did play a very aggressive blue white deck. I didn't have a ton of removal. I had the Aether Squall Whale, which was fun, and I did get to blow somebody's creatures away with it, like the turn after it was cast, and it was fantastic.
So what's this card? This is the one that you spend a bunch of energy
bounce you get everything. Three energy at your upkeep, and then you can spend 8 energy to bounce every other creature except
get
for
three
it.
3 energy on your upkeep?
Yes.
Every
wow.
upkeep.
And it's a 6/6 flyer for 7, so it's like already
okay.
value.
All right, so you're putting some mana in, so you get that. That's fair.
But you can only do it as a sorcery.
Which I was like, I picked it up and I read it, and I was like, sorcery speed? I was like, really? Because I really just want to punish my opponent on their turn with this.
What's the rarity of this card?
It's a rare.
It's a rare. It's a rare.
So okay. I had this in my deck. So the reason I played blue-white was because I had Aether Squall, Ancient. I had the rock that adds energy to your mana pool. I had...
the whale.
And then I had the Torrential Gearhulk, which was great when I cast it. I mean, I was able to cast it for value, which was really good. I cast it with impeccable timing and then got to blow up somebody's creature. Like, I lured him into an Alpha Strike and then tapped and played out the Torrential Gearhulk.
Not the card impeccable timing. This was... You just had impeccable timing.
In the graveyard.
When you cast it.
In the graveyard, so that...
Wait, hold on. There's a card called... Oh, okay.
Three damage to target attacking or blocking creature.
When you said I played this with impeccable timing, I thought you meant... I mean, you're right.
I did both.
Yes. You did both.
I did both. And I got to blow up his creature and then eat a thing.
And you even got to be a wordsmith.
Yeah, it was good.
Did you make a great joke?
No, I just said I kill your creature block with a 5/6, line up my other blocks and eat your board, leave you with a 1/1 servo. Okay, untap, attack you for 11.
You didn't.
You had the chance to say, with impeccable timing, I will cast.
I realize.
You could have LSV'd him.
No, LSV takes cheap shots. You could have.
Anyways,
one-upped this whole
situation. I had some energy producers. I played.
No, you could have LSV'd him. You're right.
20
You're right,
creatures.
Larry, I'm sorry.
I played a lot of creatures, and then everything else was vehicles, and then like a few removal spells in blue-white. And I honestly have to say I was surprised at how fast the sealed format felt. Because typically you feel like, okay, I'm going to play like a grindier sealed game or card advantage removal. My bombs are going to be things that are going to win me the game. And every game I lost was pretty much simply because I missed a land drop. And I was playing 18 lands in the deck.
Yeah, I think with so many artifacts in the set, everybody has access to common 2-drops.
Right.
There's a lot of... 2-drops and 3-drops. Well, there's a lot of common...
I think in sealed, you go like, okay, 2-drops aren't a big deal. 3-drops aren't a big deal, right? Because the sealed game's going to go long.
I love people like you.
Because you just roll me. And you know what? This format is set up to roll people like me. Because on turn 6, you're dealing with an 8/7 menace. And you're like, I missed a land drop.
Like, I mean, you gotta be able to analyze the format.
I walked in blind and got ran over.
So my sealed deck of the pre-release... was a blue-black artifact energy deck.
Did you have a lot of removal, though? Did you have, like, how much removal were you playing?
I had a bunch of removal, but yeah. I also had a couple... I had, like, 3 thriving rats in my... I played... I tend to...
It's got Death Touch, right?
No, it's
1/2.
Nothing. It's got nothing.
Oh, it's got nothing?
It's a 1/2, creature.
And you can spend 2 energy and put up a
person. Right.
Yeah.
Wait, so that thing did work for you?
Yeah, so I definitely had some games. Well, no. It's a 2-mana 1/2 that adds 2 energy when it comes to the play.
And then when you attack, you can add a +1/+1 counter on it, and you can make it a 2/3.
Yeah. Which is pretty decent.
And a 2/3 felt like it did well. Because I was wondering...
Well, you got to understand, every 2 energy you come up with, you can add a counter onto it.
Right.
So if I play this on turn 2, I attack on turn 3, it's a 2/3, it's bigger than everything else. If also on that third turn I play another Thriving Rats, the next turn I can attack and make it a 3/4, so it's a 3/4 attacking on turn 3.
Yeah.
So, like, they combine in a way that, like, it gets really big and out of control.
I absolutely agree, because that's what I took away from the format, which is that creatures get big quickly.
Yeah.
That whether it's the energy investment in a creature that makes it big, or another way that you're putting +1/+1 counters, or if you're upgrading your 2-drop into a 5/4 trample with the runaway train, or things like that.
Runaway train.
The crewing or whatnot, like, or fabricate. It was so surprising how quickly games felt like they snowballed away from me.
Like, the one guy that I feel like you can get behind really quickly is that Thriving Rhino.
Yes. Like, oh, my God. I used a removal spell on it. I felt a tool.
Green and 2, and he's a 2/3, and he's the part of the thing, and then he gets +1. So, like, you know, you're...
So here's what my opponent did. Turn 2, they play the 2-mana green enchantment that you can pay an extra colorless mana to put a 1/1 counter. So then he's like, okay, now I play my Rhino. And now it already comes out...
That fucking card's real good.
It already comes out a thing bigger, and then now I'm going to attack with it and make it... Now I have to use one of the 3 pieces of removal, like point removal in my deck, on your stupid common Thriving Rhino, because I just can't deal with it right now.
So totally. I saw some guy at the PPTQ, and I didn't realize that this was such a great combo, but he literally won with 2 cards.
Yeah.
So he had the rare module...
Oh, the
animation module, I think it's called.
That, which one's that?
So read it out.
I'm getting there.
So so to continue with the story, so he played a turn one animation module because it costs 1.
Right, and that's the one where whenever 1 or more +1/+1 counters are placed on a permanent you control, you may pay 1 if you do create a 1/1 colorless servo artifact creature token. That's right. Legit.
So then he
But you can also pay 3 and tap it and choose a counter on target permanent or player.
Oh,
give that
yeah.
permanent player Buff. And another counter of that
so,
kind.
So he goes and does that, and then he plays the rat and he gets an energy, right?
Right.
And Jesus. Then he copies it and does it, and
puts counters on that rat.
And goes back and forth. It keeps going back and forth.
So making good. 1/1s, making yep. counters on the Make rat. It,
yep.
Oh. Jeez.
And all he did, that's all he did.
The whole game. That's all he did.
So if you have...
He played the 1 into 2 and then just beat people over the
so
side.
So basically, if you have a creature with a 1/1 counter on it, you can essentially pay 4 mana to create
get a
1/1
and a dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just do that all
so,
the time.
Yeah, that's so nuts. Like turn 3, he attacked, put the thing on there, did something, and then turn 4, all he did is he's like, spend 3, make a dude... Put a counter on, and now it's like a 4. He like when he got done, he was like a 5/6 rat or something.
5/6 yeah. rat with 3 1/1s attached
yeah.
to it.
And it's like, you know, and he's like, yeah, I just can block with here, and you know,
So the format is definitely like it can get out of control very quickly, but at the same time,
mm-hmm.
not only does every color have really good answers
mm-hmm.
to the quick starts, but you have them in artifacts. Like, everyone has access to the artifacts that they can use. Like, there's a common 2-mana 2/2 artifact that when it comes into play, everybody scries one.
Right.
Everybody scries one.
Everybody scry.
Everybody scry.
It sounds like a Chance the Rapper song. Everybody scry now, everybody scry now.
So I think it's actually really interesting. Are there other cards that have a triggered ability, everyone scries one? Because this isn't you scry one,
no,
then your opponent scries
that
one.
Is, I think that's a demarcation that scry now is an evergreen ability, and we'll just see it forever. Scry is always going to exist card filtration mechanic that is going to exist in Magic unless they print something like Clues or they do a delineation off of that.
Well, you know, Clues are a card advantage system.
But they're a filtration
I like
too,
that
they
Scry
cycle.
Exists in everything all the time
yeah.
now.
I'm totally agree.
And then there's the crazy fucking veteran
The 3-1? The Scry's 2? Why does it have to Scry 2? I don't know, Wizards. Do you want red-white to be the dominant deck? I guess
so,
you do.
So I heard why he Scry's 2.
It's been a while.
I heard that, and this is something you'll appreciate.
Okay.
So it's the veteran motorist.
He's a veteran.
He's a veteran. So he's been running the track for years and
years. At least twice.
For years and years. And so because he does, he knows where all the potholes are. He knows where everything is. So that's why he Scry's too. That's actually the real reason.
All right, I buy it.
Yeah, why not?
I buy it.
So the thing,
I'm not saying I believe it, but I'm just saying that's what Watsy said.
The thing I'm curious about is when you have a triggered ability that says both players Scry 2, or sorry, Scry 1, and we're talking about this before the show a little bit. Who do you both, like, how do you indicate that you've both chosen what you've decided scry. With your scry at the same time? Like, like when you use Liliana's plus one, you know, you both choose the card you're going to discard. You kind of like put it
face down
next to the graveyard, and then you both flip it over. Or with this ability, is it different? Like, do you both, does the active player scry first?
I think the active player goes on the stack.
Well, but the thing is, it's one triggered ability. It's one triggered ability that says each player scries one.
We need a level two judge, and we need to probably talk to Yorick.
Yeah. Good talk to Yorick.
But in the meantime, you didn't need a judge because you simply just won your PPTQ, Larry.
Boom.
Up north in Seattle. The PPTQ played it. Run
we
us
can
down.
Dispense with all the bullshit of me and Cole talking about whatever the fuck we did. Larry won a PPTQ.
He won a PPTQ. Yay! Oh my god! Yay!
I'm clapping.
Golf clap.
Okay, so which one did you take down? How many players? Let's start there.
So it was 28 players.
Okay, that's nice. Five rounds.
Yep, five rounds. And it was
and one
sealed.
Nub.
Yes,
that's you.
Yes, and one nub. And it was sealed.
Okay.
Kaladesh.
And what'd you play?
So I played Black Red Aggro.
Nice.
And it was really good. Like, my deck's so...
You were showing us the screenshot. Yes. We'll have to put this on our Facebook page. Yeah. But it was a legit deck. I mean, what you were playing...
Larry
how many creatures? How many spells?
Damn near killed him.
Yeah, so... let's see. So I'll start with my rares. So I had two Fleet Wheel Cruisers.
Nice.
Which was super awesome, and actually beat one guy where I went Fleet Wheel Cruiser into Fleet Wheel Cruiser, and he's like...
Is that the rare from last week?
Yes, that's
you had
the...
two of those?
Two of those.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And then I also had two of the... And I don't know what the second part is. Marionette Master?
So this is the 1-3 with Fabricate 3, right?
For six mana?
For six mana. Black and four.
How... What was the mode that you picked often with this? Did you make the 3-1 ones?
There was no often. It was only one mode.
What was that?
I only chose to fabricate three dudes.
Right. And make a 1-3 that then punished them for losing those dudes. Yeah. Right? Because what is it? Whenever an artifact? You read it. I got it.
Whenever an artifact you control is put into a graveyard, they lose life equal to the marionette's power. So, whenever an artifact dies, they would take one.
Nice. And you had how many artifacts did you have in this
deck? I had 5 artifacts, and then, of course, the two marionettes that made artifacts.
So, that's a lot.
Yeah. It was. And I tried to make it as a... Because I also had... I'll talk about that in a second. So, there was one game where I was in... So, I went 3-0-2.
Nice.
So, I just drew. And so there was one round where I had two Salivating Goblins out, which is the 2-3 for red and two that gets +2/+0 and trample whenever an artifact comes into play.
Yeah.
And then I also had the...
Oh, my God. If you cast that with a marionette, does it trigger three times?
Three times.
Ugh.
But not only that, I also had...
Get drained.
The Reckless... Fireweaver, which is the red and 1/1/3.
That, oh, no. So that triggers three times two off the marionette. That is gross.
It's super gross, yeah.
It's scary.
Yeah. So that was mostly my deck.
Didn't you also have like engineered explosives or whatever? Or like what is the thing that...
If you had engineered explosives...
You would be playing in the wrong
would
format.
Would have to like...
You'd be cheating.
Have a chat. Yeah. About how this fucking happened.
Anyways.
You talking about the disintegration?
There we go. Yes. What is it? Registered
Unlicensed disintegration. Yeah, it's the black red one. Destroy something, and if you
destroy a creature,
yeah,
that's very good.
It's
and then
really good.
And then if you have an artifact, you
it also does three.
You like lose no tempo off that card.
Yeah, it's so good. And then I had a Welding Sparks, which does damage.
I like the Welding Sparks. Really I think good. that card's legit in this format.
Pack one, pick one. Easy.
Sorry. What's that do?
It's red and two instant, and it does X plus three damage equal to the number of artifacts.
So it's like it's basically a
instant.
Instant.
It's a lightning bolt for three, but it can kind of upgrade to four.
Yeah. No. Five. I mean, like three mana lightning bolt at instant speed and limited.
Totally
is
fine.
Great.
Super good. Totally fine. Yeah.
If you get extra off that.
Actually,
you're,
I was
you're
playing blue white, and I opened two. I opened the red white dual land and the blue white blue red dual land, and I splashed a mountain. Just for that card, because I was like, let's play a little extra removal in my sealed deck.
Does that go to creature or player?
Only creatures.
Just creatures.
Only,
yeah, it's fine. It's whatever.
But I actually, killed a Gearhulk with it.
Nice.
Because I had my marionette.
Right. So it's like six damage with the marionette? Damage,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I had so much, like, such good...
synergy with that black red.
Yeah. I had like a Furious Reprisal, which was what were you calling it? The it's like the Cone of Flame of this thing.
Yes. Yeah. Oh my god! That's the three in a red, and it's deal two damage to up to two target creatures and two target players. Yeah.
Yeah. I think the thing I've learned from this format, this is one lesson I can take away right the fuck now. If your card needs an artifact, you'll fucking get an artifact. Like, don't worry about it. Yeah. You'll have one.
Yeah. Definitely.
If all it says is you need one artifact to make this happen. Just count that as like a given, because you can draft a deck that'll have an artifact.
It's like why that what is it? It's like a 3/2 that gets +1/+0 in Death Touch if it has an artifact in black.
Oh yeah, he's good.
That's very good because it's often always
which one?
Oh God, what is it? I'm looking
like
it
plus
up.
One, plus
it's
zero
in Death Touch. Duhund Operative. It's one and a black for a 2/2. As long as you control an artifact, it gets +1/+0 and has Death Touch.
And so good.
That's
real
sweet.
That's like a great
it's
black.
It's basically
common.
A 2-mana 3/2 Death Touch.
All the time.
And I had two of the other ones that are black. So I had the Embral Bruiser.
Right.
He was super good. He's black and one, and he's a 3/1, and he gains menace if you own an artifact.
I had him in my
very
deck.
Good.
That was a very good card.
Yeah.
I would frequently play him on two, then untap, play another creature on three that would, you know, play like a fabricate creature, and then just attack with a...
Yeah, I did that to my my round three opponent. Like, I started with the Night Market Lookout, which is the 1/1, and then if he becomes tapped, he drains life. So I'm like, play him. I win first. I attack with him. So you drain one, you attack for one, you gain one, right?
Yeah.
And then turn two, I played the Bruiser. So now I got a 3/1, and then the third turn I played like my Cobras, so it's now like, you know, it's really good. And then you like you can use your lookout guy to like activate
your vehicles
and stuff. And so speaking of vehicles, I had one more vehicle. I actually had three, and it was the Oval Chase Dragster, which is 6/1, trample haste crew one. So basically I had three forecasting cost vehicles that were, you know, X something,
right.
Trample, haste.
That's the opponent where you went, like, cruiser into...
And they all basically just come in
dragster.
And attack immediately.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that
this deck was super
disgusting.
Sweet.
No wonder you just took down that tournament.
Yeah. And then my draft deck was very cool. So I had, like 10 bears or something like that. So I'll just quickly go over. I had five of the Aviary Mechanic, which is the white and one bear that bounces something if you want.
Right. How did that work for you?
It's really good.
Were you able to capitalize on that ability? Because it seems like one of those ones that is sneaky good in the right deck.
Yeah, so it wasn't super great in my deck, and I was kind of hoping... I drafted them because they were there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was kind of hoping, you know, maybe to get, like, you know, Fabricate Guys or something. Mm-hmm. But I also had two Veteran Motorists, one of them being Foil, which was sweet.
Nice.
And I'm like...
That's a good card to bounce.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, look, my 3-1 can't attack anymore, but I can bounce it and scry too.
Yeah.
Seems sweet. But the all-star in my deck, and I'll just, like, pretty much end it at that, because it was... Like, I pack one, pick one to Combustible Gearhulk, which was great.
Yep.
Almost didn't play it because I played 16 land, but I was like, ah, fuck it. I'll just play it because it's so good, right?
You only live once.
And I ended single-handedly in the top eight. It won me three different games.
Oh, my God.
No, that card's insane. I mean, like...
The Gear Hulks are very good.
I would play another land just to be able to play that card in my deck.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Gear Hulks are all crazy.
But the all-star of my deck was the Eddie Trail Hawk.
I like... So in my sealed pool, so I had good. Three. I played two. I almost wanted to play the third one because yes. just like... Okay, now I jump my vehicle that's a 6-6 or whatever. Oh, I jump this thing.
Your 6-6 first strike Gear Hulk flying.
I jump my Gear Hulk. I jump this. I jump that. Like, granted, the 1-2 isn't super inspiring, but like it blocks a servo token. It blocks a Thopter. Like, it does a thing. But the ability offensively is very
good. Amazing.
It's very good.
So the best thing that it did was... So the Veteran Modus is super cool. It's a 3-1. It's very aggressive. But imagine when that thing's flying.
Right. Then it works.
So I fly, spend an energy, I fly, do four. Next turn, I play something, I spend an energy, I fly for four, right? And then I'm like, oh, I'll play my aviary mechanic for two.
Right.
Bounce my bird, replay my bird, all for four mana, right?
Yep.
And get two energy back, and then I can swing again.
Yes.
It was very, very good.
Yeah, I liked it.
The coolest thing I had also three Built to Smash. Which is cost
right
built to smash. Yeah, I think if there's any like sort of punctuation point on your deck, it's the fact that you played three built to smash.
Yes.
Like, if you want to know what Larry's deck is about, it has three cards that each say one mana instant target attacking creature gets +3/+3
and trample if it's an artifact.
If it's an artifact,
sweet. Yeah.
Attacking creature. He plays three cards that only can be cast if you're attacking with a creature.
But it's Giant Growth. Giant Growth's good.
And but only if you're attacking.
Yeah, but I mean, whatever.
No, yeah, I'm just saying,
He's just putting the point on it.
If you want to know what Larry's deck is about, it's got to be attacking.
Yeah.
You know what? I was surprised at how good Built to Last was when I was playing.
Built to Last is phenomenal.
Yeah.
I actually... had hoped to, because I played two Pressure Point, which I actually am not really a big fan of that card. But
I don't know if that's, I think that's a little finesse for this format. In just like tapping down a creature. Like, I get that this format is very tempo based, and I think that the one blue mana spell that's like bounce a tap creature is actually sneaky very good because it's like, end I tap down three of my creatures to operate my vehicle, and then like I bounce your vehicle, and then like, great, now I'm going to take eight.
I think
it's a tempo based format. I think Pressure Point is better than it's been. I still think it's a little finesse for this format.
Well,
it is, but like I also, so the other thing is that I wanted to play 16 lands and I felt like since it's then it cycles.
Yeah.
And I felt like, you know, if I have at the end of a turn, like, you know, I'm like either racing or if there's these weird things where like, you know, they've got like a one, say they got like a servo and I don't want to lose my veteran motorist to a 3-1, but say he's got like a 3-3, so I can tap his token or servo token, and if he wants to block, he has to block
trade.
At least with a real creature, right?
Yeah.
And that actually happened several times.
Yeah.
And as far as that card goes, I mean, you know, it's at its best in an aggro deck.
Yep.
You know, and that's definitely what your deck was.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I know. I wasn't unhappy with it. I mean, it actually won me. Those two, because I had two of them, that specific card won me one game where the guy had Pia Nalar.
Mm-hmm. Very strong.
And so this is how the game goes. So I'm only playing 16 lands. This is actually in the finals. It was game one. And I drew like nine land. And I'm like, oh, it's so terrible. This is actually why I'm playing 16 lands, so that this doesn't happen.
Dude,
right?
You gotta shuffle better.
But
I keep telling people.
But my opponent had also
drawn
like 12 lands.
You draw too many lands.
Really?
Just shuffle your goddamn deck.
So my opponent had like 12 lands. So we were doing this thing where like, draw, go. And nothing happens. So then he draws and he's like, oh my God. And he plays that... what is the... I don't know the name of it. So it's red in one, the instant, or two, that the red rare where you discard your hand to do damage to something?
Oh, yes. It's two red. It is damage in the pit. It is Fateful Showdown.
Damage in the pit.
Well, they're in a pit. Yeah, you discard your hand, deal damage to target creature or player equal to the number of cards in your hand. Yeah. Discard all cards in your hand, then draw that many cards.
So he's got like 12 land out, and at this point, I have done 11 points of damage with my bird.
Jeez.
So I never drew a creature, right? But I'm like, we're just drawing land after land except after land, right? And I'm like, pink, pink, pink. So then he draws, and he does 4 damage to my bird, draws 4 cards, and he's like, plays a card, and plays Pia and Nalar.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my god. And he's got like, of course, like 12 land out, right? So he can do like 7 points of damage and kill me, right? And he's at 1 life. So he drew this card at the one time that he could do it. And I'm like, fine, whatever, right? So then I'm like, well, that was a fucking super bomby card to have drawn at this point. He only has 2 cards left in his library, and I've only got like 4, right?
Yeah.
And I'm like, geez. I'm like, oh, Combustible Gear Hulk. Like, you're at 1 life. Would you like me to draw 3 cards, or would you like me to like do damage? And he's like, I guess we're gonna. So I draw 3 cards. So I only have 1 card left in my library, and they're all spells. All 3 of them are spells, and I play them, and the last card is the pressure point. So he goes to attack, and I tap his.
Draw your last card in your library.
So yeah, tap his looter. And then, like, kill him with a flying.
Right. But if it's your last card, then you die if you cast pressure point.
No, I had cast it on your turn.
Yes, I cast it on my turn.
And then declined to draw the card because you had no cards left in your library.
So wait, it's a you may draw that card?
No, it's a draw.
You had 1 card left in your library after
I played
it.
Yeah, after the pressure point, yeah.
That is legit.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And that was the first game. So it was
good thing they're not timed.
It was really interesting. So it was thinking. I wanted to actually bring this out to the point that you were saying about like the games, but all of the finals, so quarterfinals, semifinals, and then up to the finals, nobody went to a game 3.
Interesting.
So nobody.
I've actually. I mean, my sort of. What do you call the? I haven't played a lot of game. I haven't played a lot of matches.
Right.
My sample size is fairly small, but I've found more games than not have only gone to 2 games as well. Usually with me winning both of them.
So I played on Tuesday, and the first 2 rounds I went to game 3. Okay, calm down.
The only matches I've lost went to 3 games. So like, I don't know what that says about the format, but I feel like we should take that into account.
So I on Tuesday I played. I went. Both my first 2 matches went to 3 games, and then my third one. I just rolled my opponent. But I will say this. The games I won, I just rolled on my opponent. And the games I lost, just rolled on me.
Yeah.
And it was, and that's what I feel like. I'm interested to play this format more. But my initial impressions is that it's a little snowbally. It's a little hard. It's kind of hard to come back when you're behind. There's not a lot of easy 2-for-1s. Creatures escalate quickly, and quickly you're staring down. Like it used, like in the previous format, you'd play like a 1-2 and a 2-3 and a 3-2, and they'd play a 3-2 and a 2-1 and a 2-3. And
there was
like
a lot of mixing of.
There was a lot of, and everything was kind of suppressed. And you get to these board states where it's like, you have a bunch of creatures, small creatures. I got a bunch of small creatures. I don't really have a great way of cracking through, so now I'm going to crack a bunch of clues and try and like win that way, or like play these longer games. And this is like. I got a 2-2, I got a 3-3, I got a 6-5, and I got a 7-1. And it's like, I'm just smashing in on you. And you either have answer, creature that can block profitably, and another answer, or you are going to be behind, and you are going to be hurting.
So I think the fact that the last couple of formats have been a little on the slower, more mid-rangey side, have... Maybe
skewed our perception of the limited format. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or they could have designed this as such.
I felt like I walked into Sealed trying to play maybe a more aggressive deck, but a little bit more of a grindier deck, and I found myself behind and like quickly behind. Like behind in a way that was like, I can't play two spells in a turn and even catch up.
Is this because of the vehicles?
This is, I think, just because there's so many four mana, four power, four toughness creatures that come out very quickly. Like, if you think about red, you think about green, even blue gets a 4/4 for five that can start attacking with the energy, the crab, like,
the crab?
The 4/4 defender crab.
High tide crab.
That gives you four energy, but they can attack for two. You think about the assembly worker, that's a 5-mana 4/4. There's just like toughness starts to accelerate.
It's definitely a format that you need to have two drops.
You need to have two drops, but you also need to have, like, beef at 4 and 5 and be able to reliably cast it, because they're going to reliably cast beef at 4 and 5.
I had no 4 or 5 drops at all.
Well, you were playing 16 land and had an awesome deck.
Get out.
You also had removal for all their 4 or 5 drops. You had a little bit. But anyway, I was just surprised at how quickly, how big creatures got quickly, and how it feels like in previous formats, sometimes you could play a 4/4 and hold off 2 to 3 creatures against them. And in this format, you play a 4/4 and it's like, not only do they also have a 4/4, but they might also have a 4/3, and they might also have a flying 3/2. And it's like, you know what I'm saying? It just doesn't, it was a snowball. It felt snowbally for yeah. And granted, it was one sealed event, but it felt snowbally. And I was surprised at that.
I think, so far, it seems like a format that can be very aggressive.
Yeah.
I don't think it necessarily has to be. And that's probably fast, fair. But, you know, it's. I feel like you have to be ready to defend yourself against decks that can be very aggressive.
I mean, I found there are some key cards that do that. And some of them are artifacts, like the Little Train. If it comes out on, if you're going second and they put
the Little Train.
The
4/3 for three, and then when it attacks, it gets +1/+1.
And trample.
It is the Renegade Freighter, and it's like common.
It's common. Yeah.
And it's like, behind.
Either that one or the.
Are you saying you need that to be an aggressive deck?
I'm saying when you. So if you say they're going first and they put that out on turn three, you always feel like you're behind the eight ball there.
Yes, because they're
attacking with a 5/4 trampler, and
it's crew two.
Crew two. The other one that totally rolled really me easy. Was the Arat.
It cost three.
Cost three.
So here's the thing I found, because I played against this card in my last draft. They play a 2-drop.
Yep.
It's a bear, probably. They play that thing on three. They probably attack with their 2-drop.
Yep.
You untap. They're basically tapped out of creatures at that point. They're 4/3, can't block. It's yep. You know, it's a vehicle, so you attack them back. They untap, they crew their vehicle, they attack you for 4/5. 5, whatever. You're basically in a racing situation. Like, they're kind of putting them out a little bit. If after they attack you with that 4/3 that becomes a 5/4, if they don't have a follow-up play, they're in a really tight situation, because even though they just attacked you for 5, you can untap and attack with a 3-power creature and a 2-power creature very easily on turn 4.
Right. So what I was saying is,
five or whatever.
So the important thing I was saying is, when they go first, you feel like you're really behind the eight ball.
And say if you miss a land drop,
but you can double block.
But if you can't
get
that,
both your guys,
you'll lose one.
Maybe
both. I don't know.
And so it's the same thing. The rhino. The rhino feels the same way to me. Like, for 3 mana, he becomes a 3/4, which is really, really hard to block. And then the train is like a 5/4 trample that's really hard to block. So it feels like there are a couple key cards that, if they go first, you can really get behind the eight ball.
Well, you can. I think you can maybe be a turn behind. But the thing I found with vehicles is that you can't be that far behind, because they may, even if they're on the play, they can attack you for 5 out of nowhere, but they've also tapped out their board. They can no longer block
right.
you. Yep. You can attack them back. Maybe if it's just for 4, you've dealt one less damage to them, but you're still keeping up the damage race to an extent that doesn't put you way behind. These are all tactical.
Out. You're all tapped out.
Yeah,
too,
and they're just going to crew their vehicle again and attack you again. Yeah. But, you know, these are tactical decisions, but I think, like, The way that I've found these games to go so far is that the tactical decisions work out in such a way that when they crew their vehicle to attack you, even if they're getting an extra bit of damage, they have to tap them out and themselves out in such a way that you have a good attack back. Like, you can get back them in there. You can keep up with that damage race. And if you can come up with a combat trick or a removal spell in the interim, then you can really pull ahead in, like, a huge way. And but, of course, if they come up with that combat trick or removal spell, obviously they'll be able to
And maybe this is indicative of Magic today, but what I would say is that in theory, you can keep pace with them unless, of course, you stumble at one point.
Yes.
If you can't make that 3-3 out and you just stuck with the 2-2,
you got to keep up.
You are quickly underwater.
Totally. You got to keep up.
And that's what I found, is that if I couldn't keep up, I was like, it didn't feel like I was back a turn. It felt like I was back two turns all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's actually super important. Like, you definitely have to be able to keep up, and you have to figure out, you have to be working towards a spot where you can turn the tables, where you can be like...
Yes, and the games that I did that, where I worked towards that one turn where I got the explosive combat trick and things and blow them out and thing, all of a sudden, the game turns on a dime, and they're down to one servo, and I've got a boar, and they've got nothing. But, like... the games where I missed a land drop or couldn't land that 3-3 for 4 on turn 4 was like, uh-oh. Like, now I got to start using the one piece of removal in my hand to deal with their medium-level threat, and then all of a sudden their big threat's coming out the next turn. Like, I can't tell you... Like, I feel like the Aradara Express, the 5-mana 8-6 with Menace and Crew 4, the two games I saw that... I stumbled a little bit. He dropped that, and I was just like, "Dunzo!" Because it was like, "How can I deal with an? I've got like a 1-2 flyer, and I've got another creature that can nowhere near trade with this thing, and it's got
all
menace.
Their creatures are on this huge train thing.
It's on this huge. It's hitting me for 8. I've got like 2 turns where I can deal with this thing, and it just wipes out my board every time. Like, it was interesting like that. I felt whereas like. If you take something like when we had the Eldrazi things built towards these large megalithic creatures, but they like took time to get there, the vehicles are like, I'm here on turn 5 or 6 and I'm smacking you upside the head, and you're either going to keep pace with me because I'm tapping out my board to crew this vehicle, or you're going to have an answer for this vehicle. But if you don't, you are getting run over.
But I would say it looks to me like smartly, Wizards did not print a bunch of large creatures on top of these vehicles.
No, the vehicles are the big guys.
They're the big guys.
Yeah.
Like, but it's not like green has a bunch of 6-mana 6-6s.
No, but what I do like is that they did print a lot of 5-mana 4-4s. They can kind of like profitably double block some of these
like
vehicles.
Every color
has got
every
some
color.
Beef. Like every... What I would say the big demarcation difference between the last format and this one is everything seems about... two toughness bigger than they were in the last format.
Yeah. Well, what I was trying to say is the fact that green man, like green doesn't have.
Right. Green is not the dominant big color.
Well, just if you look at the sizing of creatures that Magic usually like puts into all of their different colors, usually green has some sort of like 6-mana 6-6.
Fucking dire.
Which I think they do. I think they do have a vanilla 6-mana 6-6 in this format.
Probably is it common?
It's common. It's the big like worm or whatever.
Yeah, the cowl worm.
Yeah, cowl
worm. Okay. Well, all right. It's out there. Maybe the format.
But that's not
that kind of
that's not the big creature of the format.
Well, what I was trying to say is, I think the place where vehicles could be a problem is that, you know, if you play a 2-2 and then a 3-3, and then... Or if you play, like, a vehicle, and then a 2-2, and then crew the vehicle and attack with the vehicle. Like, that's the power of the vehicle, right? Like, you can play something that is cheaper early on, and then crew it later on, and just get in with it over and over again. And the way to fight against that is to try to kill the creatures, so they can no longer attack with this vehicle. And you're basically, like, stranding... the equivalent of an equipment type of card.
Oh, if you get stranded with
a
vehicle on the board, you feel
it's miserable.
It's miserable.
And in tight games, I've found that being able to do that is a huge ability.
Yeah.
When your opponent has a bunch of vehicles on the battlefield, killing a few creatures can like do a huge amount of damage.
Well, that's why
all of a sudden they can't make that alpha strike.
That's why that three in a red for two damage to two creatures is so good, because you just like wipe out their ability to accrue their big threat.
Yeah. I've also found if you're if you're a little bit ahead and you're trying to like close out that extra little bit of damage, if your opponent has some vehicles on the battlefield, when you're trying to count up blockers, just imagine those vehicles aren't there.
Yeah.
Because that's how many blockers they actually have. If they have four creatures and two vehicles, they only have four blockers.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, interesting. That's a good point.
On the good side. Like, assuming that it only takes one creature to crew each vehicle.
Yeah.
Which can, you know, make you a little bit more worried. Like, normally if your opponent had six creatures on the battlefield, you know, you're in a shitty spot if you want to try to attack them. But if two of those creatures are vehicles, they really only have four blockers. And I think that, I think the vehicles in the end will really just make games very swingy. Like, I don't think they'll necessarily
make them... I think that's what it feels
like. Them...
I totally agree. I think it feels swingy.
Yeah. I don't know that it'll make the format more aggressive. I just think it'll make it
swingy. I think it feels more snowball-y, where it's like, you get behind, you start to get really behind. You get ahead, you feel really ahead.
Well, I would say that if you get behind, it also the fact that they have to tap their board out every turn to get ahead gives you the chance to try to come back.
Right.
So
that's why I like fog effects, tempo effects. I feel like tempo effects in this format probably are particularly good. You know, things where you can just like negate their very vehicle after they crew it. It's huge play. Fog their big alpha strike. Don't play a fog.
Don't play a fog.
I see why they printed a fog
also,
in this format.
I do want to issue a correction, an addendum. We fucked up them.
What?
There was a card that we were talking about being way better than it was.
What was that?
The 4-mana enchantment, when it comes into play, you get a bunch of energy, and then you can pay 2 energy to prevent.
I didn't say it was good. I just said I thought it was interesting.
Well... we didn't realize how it worked. We said it prevented damage from a...
to the person.
To a source of your choice when it was to you. You can only prevent damage to yourself, not to one of your creatures.
Huge difference.
And when we analyzed it, to creatures.
So talking about the Ahradara Express.
Yeah.
Just to close this out, and how like things can be swingy. I remember in the pre-release in the finals of one of them, RJ won by having his Eddie Trailhawk fly the Ahradara Express.
Totally.
So it's like, so not only is it an 8/6, not only is it flying, but it's also menace. So you have to have two flyers to block it. And he's like, I don't know how the bird is carrying this thing, but
carrying me to victory.
Vehicles so definitely can make some flavor fails in the world.
Especially
super
that
fun
one.
Though.
When my 1/3 can fly fly a plane but can't drive a car, like that's a flavor fail. But whatever, you know, that shit happens.
Here's my last question on Limited. I had this question when I was building my deck because I was splashing red. Is Demolish and Fragmentize the 1-white destroy target artifact or enchantment with opponent with converted mana cost 4 or less? Are they main deckable?
Fragmentize, yes.
I think so.
Demolish.
No?
I think the problem is that you're oftentimes you could be trading down in mana, which I don't like to do.
Because the vehicles are kind of routinely cheaper.
Yep.
Or cheap-ish.
So,
and you can deal with them.
Fragmentize, I would play every time. I'd play at least one copy every time.
Yeah, because you'll get a mana advantage every time you play it. You can kill like so many. What
and
is
you
it,
can
three
deal
or
with,
less?
You. It's four or less, and you can deal with
that's like
it hits like everything,
and you can deal with all like the pacifism effects
enchantments,
and enchantments.
What's the card called?
Fragmentize.
Fragmentize is the Pablo Escobar of Magic.
Wow,
it blows up a lot of fucking cards.
Okay, then you heard it here first.
I've been watching Narcos.
Okay,
a good
I get it.
And
Un Pablo eyes.
Don Pablo. See Don Pablo.
When Don Pablo needs to escape from the Federales, what is he escaping?
Well, he escapes to his dad's place, and it doesn't work out, but...
You know. It's neither here nor there.
But, you know, if I was a high-level Colombian drug lord in the late 80s, early 90s, and, you know, the CIA or the DEA had figured out that I was driving the classy vehicles, you know, mm-hmm. the looter scooters or the fleet wheel
cruisers.
Cruiser?
Is of the format?
Cruisers of the format? Maybe a downgrade. And I'd hire the limones of the format. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
You're going deep on this reference.
Anyone who's watching fucking Narcos right now is like pumping a fist.
You're feeling him.
I might take the limones of the format.
Look at uncommon vehicles.
Look at uncommon vehicles, are Crack Sack and Barry, the format where we take.
Got there.
Three cards on a theme. Choose one we want to crack. We're psyched to play it. One we want to sack. We'll sacrifice it if we have to, much like Pablo Escobar sacrificed the well-being of most of the people of Colombia. And one we want to bury, much like Pablo Escobar buried every chance of...
redeeming himself.
He had a redeeming himself.
Okay, great.
Seriously, watch Narcos. Great show.
Shut your face.
I'm really bummed out you guys haven't seen this show because I'm making a lot of great jokes.
Okay, all right. I believe you.
So we're doing the uncommon vehicles of Kaladesh.
Before we start, can we say that like Cole's got like two different socks on?
Look.
That's his thing. Just don't call attention to it.
Thank you, Evan. That's exactly what it's about.
That's what Richard Garfield used to do.
Cole's not that smart. Come on.
So
genius has its demarcations.
Okay. So 23 years ago, I had my interview with Wizards of the Coast, right? And Richard Garfield comes up, and he's wearing one purple sock and one green sock. And I kind of noticed it, and I mentioned it, and I'm like, that's interesting. What does he say? Haha, I got a pair just like it at home.
Notice Cole has not said anything nearly as witty about this.
No witty retort. No. I work on it, though.
And, of course, I have to give him the obligatory laugh because we're in an interview, right? All right, back to cars.
All right. We're doing three of the four uncommon vehicles in Kaladesh. The first one, Ballista Charger.
Pew, pew. Five by shooting.
Pew, pew.
There you go. Five.
With your cannon.
5 mana for a 6/6 vehicle. It has crew 3. And whenever Ballista Charger attacks, it deals 1 damage to target creature or player.
It's a pretty wimpy cannon.
It's a pea shooter. And then Bomat Bizarre Barge. It's a very bizarre barge. 4 mana for a 5/5 vehicle with crew 3. When Bomat Bizarre Barge enters the battlefield, draw a card. I like those words. And finally,
three best
Oval Chase Dragster.
Three best words in Magic. Draw a card.
Draw a card. Yeah, right. Oval Chase Dragster.
Yes, Oval Chase Dragster. Vroom vroom.
4 mana for a 6/1 vehicle. Trample haste. Crew 1.
It'll either crash or win the race. Probably both.
Nice. All right, who wants to take it away?
I'll start.
Let's do it, Larry.
Because I had a dragster in my seal deck. It was sweet. Of course, everything was trample on haste. So.
Right, you were super sweet. How'd it feel?
It was very good, actually.
Yeah. Was the one toughness a liability?
So here's the thing. So I didn't find it to be a liability at all, because even if they block with the servo, they still take 5.
Right.
So I spent 4 colorless mana to do 5.
Right, and when you're already racing them. Yep. Totally worth it.
Yeah, and you have 2 race cars. So I had 3 race cars. I was happy. I was like pig and shit. So I'm going to crack the Beaumont Bizarre. I'm a pig in shit.
Okay.
Beaumont Bizarre Barge. This guy's sweet.
Wait, you're going to crack the Bizarre?
Yes.
Even though you just talked up the racer?
Just because I talk it up doesn't mean I love it.
All right.
I just like it.
Okay. You like the Bizarre?
Yeah, it's sweet. Straw card, 5/5. Fucking sweet. Even though I've never actually played with it yet, so.
Do you like it because of the draw card?
I like it because of the draw card. It's 5/5. The other thing is that I think honestly, if I didn't have the exact kind of deck that I had, which is like the super aggro, I don't think the Dragster is as good.
Right. It's a narrower band.
Yes,
of which
a narrow,
is it good?
Like the you know the circumstances that make this card great. I think it's super great. It's like very again, it's very swingy, right? Like
high ceiling, low floor.
Yeah. So I'm gonna crack the barge. I mean, you get a 5/5. The cool thing about this guy is you can block with him.
Yep.
He blocks really really well. Like you're saying, there's so many 4/4s.
Yeah.
So there's that, and obviously drawing a card's good. And 4 mana, I think the big thing for me is when these things are good. Like, for instance, I like the little choo-choo because it costs 3. Like, I think that makes the big difference.
It
what's the little choo-choo?
The
Renegade Freighter.
Is that
Renegade
the 4/3 that attacks with the plus one?
Right. We've talked about him at length.
Welcome to the Wizards of the Cast, where none of us know any of the names of any of the cards.
Look, it's a new set. Cut us some slack.
Yeah, in like...
It's the Renegade Freighter. I was
months,
being cute,
we
but...
We still won't know the names of these cards.
It's part of our charm. Shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I'm welcoming new listeners, I suppose.
Okay.
At an hour and a half in, welcome new listeners.
We're not going to call it the Smuggler's Copter. We're going to call it Looter Scooter.
Right.
Yeah.
Get with
the program.
Okay, just so, like bifurcated so penis. Caravan. If you didn't get that reference from a week ago, you are way deep in the weeds, and I apologize.
Bifurcated dick barge.
So then I'm going to crack the Oval Chase Dragster. I think he's really good.
A dick barge. Okay, I'm sorry.
Shut up.
Trying to concentrate here for our listeners.
You're right.
Quality programming.
No, I'm sorry. Continue.
So I'm going to crack him. I think he's really good. Like, I think he's only in like certain decks that he's
good. Wait. You're cracking the barge.
I'm sorry, sacking him.
Sacking the Dragster. Okay.
Sack the drag. Drag queen.
So rock.
Yes. But 6/1 trample is pretty sweet. Haste.
So this is, it's got haste, so I can attack with it the turn I crew it when it comes into play.
Correct. It's not like the super rare one that gets the ability just to automatically attack, which makes him.
I still have to crew this.
Yeah, you still got to
crew. But with one, you crew with anything.
Yep. And then I'm going to bury the Ballista Charger. I don't know, 5 mana for a 6/6. Like, it just feels like he's going to get blocked a lot and. Dealing one, here sure he'll kill servos and maybe thopters or something, but I don't know. He's just a little underwhelming to me.
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you got, Evan?
Well, I'm also gonna crack the bizarre barge. I mean, I'm into bizarre shit. I'm DTF.
Are you into Bomats? What the hell is a Bomat?
What is a Bomat?
Probably a place, but
I don't need to get into what a Bomat is.
To enjoy the barge, Chris.
The floor on this card is the lowest, obviously. You draw a card. Attacking for 5 is good. It essentially is a 2/5 creature, in a sense. I mean, I don't know if this is an appropriate way to analyze the vehicles. But if you subtract the crew cost from, the power of the vehicle, you're essentially, like, if it's crew 3, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to tap 3 power worth of creatures to crew it, and then it attacks for 5. So it's only, adding an additional 2 power.
Yeah.
Of course, that doesn't tell the whole story because there's a whole toughness element. It having 5 toughness... makes it so that a 3/1 can crew this creature and give you a profitable attack.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously that's part of the equation. But I mean, the fact that it's 4 mana for a 5/5 that draws you a card when it comes into play. Typically, when you're casting your four draps. That's like the stage of the game where attacks become a little bit more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the 2, 3, and 4 turns. Turns 2, 3, and 4 are where if you have an advantage tempo-wise, that's where you push it.
Yep.
When you get to around turns 5 and 6, that's when it's like, all right, if you've mounted a defense, that's when the defense is being mounted. And a card like Bomat Bizarre Barge can do a lot of work there. especially if you have like a three power creature coming down on turn three or four, or two or three, I should say. Probably turn three. Let's say you got a three power, like a three mana 3/2 coming down on three. And you tap out for your three mana 3/2. Your opponent looks at your 3/2, attacks with all their creatures. You don't have a good block, right? Like your opponent has all their mana untapped. They have mana untapped to possibly cast a removal spell. You know, your
pump spell.
Yeah, or a pump spell, I should say. It's hard for you to make that block because you're probably going to run into a pump spell.
Mm-hmm.
If you just take the damage, wait for a turn, play your 5/5, now that you can crew that and block with it, it's going to be a lot harder for them to push through damage.
Fair.
Through a 5/5.
Fair.
Here's
the issue, though. You play your 5/5 crew creature, and then they use their one removal spell on your 3/2.
I mean,
that's
why don't you just give us the worst case scenario for everything?
But I'm telling you, that's the swinginess of this format.
No, that's what I feel like this format's about.
Like,
there's not that much removal, though.
No, like, there like, isn't.
There is,
and if they push the removal there, they could. Well, they could bust.
Here's the other thing: is a lot of the removal, which is kind of funny. A lot of the removal lets you still like crew.
Like, you know, that's true. Not the white. Not the white spell.
And I think specifically
one of them does right. There's, so you got the blue one malfunction, which taps, so you can't. And
but then
the
white
one
also says it can't,
crew.
Yeah.
But isn't there another white one?
There's
okay,
like the
so specifically
timing.
When it comes to this card.
Right.
Yes, sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to derail. But I'm just saying the worst case scenario is.
Yeah, you know, the worst case is bad.
That might happen.
You know, I mean, I think we just have to like.
That's the upside and downside of these
when
vehicles.
When it comes to the caveat. I mean, you have to admit the caveat that vehicles are swingy.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, if you tap out to use a vehicle and you get fucked with in some way, you're gonna as bad.
Yeah,
you know.
And note they get derailed, so the train just goes off the rails.
Well, actually, the barge sinks.
What happened?
Okay, so
the barge goes.
The barge goes
land. Crewless, and it just like floats down the river, yeah. And nobody sees it again.
Goes on
to
land,
railroaded.
So you know, actually, when it comes down to it, I mean, we don't have to go into like the specifics of the tempo swings that can happen with this card. Obviously, you can get out tempo.
Yeah,
it's a vehicle. That's what happens.
That can happen with any.
That should probably be built into the evaluations of all the vehicles. But this one draws you a card when it comes into play,
and it's super utility that way.
Yeah. So say you paid 4 mana for this 5/5 vehicle, threatening to crew it as a blocker the next turn.
Mm-hmm.
If you crew it and then they kill it in response, they've spent a removal spell. You know, probably 3 or 4 mana, 3 to 5 mana to kill this card that you spent 4 mana mm-hmm. on,
oh.
And you drew a card, so you're up a card. You're
not
that
really
much
good.
What?
You could blink this guy with your aviary mechanic.
Oh, baby.
After attacks.
After attacks, yes, of course. So you crew him. You crew him, and then you attack. They don't block, and then you blink it, and it comes back into play.
Draw a card.
And then now it's got vigilance.
Kind of, right?
Somehow. But yeah, I think it's great. I played against it a couple times. It's been... I haven't had it in any of my decks, but playing against it, every time my opponent cast it, I was super jealous. And that's how I evaluate
right.
these cards. I'm like, that card seems sweet. I want that fucking card.
Jealousy translates directly to crack.
Yeah. So I'm going to crack the Bizarre Bar.
Okay. That is a good equation.
I'm going to sack the Ballista Charger. So it's very similar to the Barge in that it's Crew 3. Right? Crew
mm-hmm.
3,
mm-hmm.
both of these cards.
Yep.
Ballista Charger, you pay an additional mana for an additional power and toughness, basically. You know, the Bizarre Barge is a 5/5 for 4. This is a 6/6 for 5, so you pay an additional mana. You get an additional power and toughness. The 1 damage to target creature or player when it attacks.
So it's like a 7/6, right?
Yeah. In a way, definitely, you know. You know, a 7/7 in some ways. Yeah. I mean, you can easily pick off a 2/1 or like, you know, you can really fuck up blocks.
Well,
for your
also
opponent.
To just think about exactly what you're talking about, Evan, the way you can fuck up blocks where you can ping a lesser creature that if they want to block your second or third creature in your strike, this is going to ensure that creature trades up with their with their advantageous blocker.
Yeah, and it's, you know, if this is your only attacker and they have to put together a stack block,
yeah,
then you can, you know, figure out which, you know, what's the odd toughness out that allows them to make a good block and, you know, ping the creature that will make it so they you know, they now have to trade two creatures for your
Absolutely, your
barge or whatever.
The I think the charger is just a, it's like a cannonball. It just like rolls the opponents.
Yeah, or it just attacks and pings off a 2-1 or something.
It's so big. It's so big. It's so beefy. It's at 6/6. It just feels like blah.
Oh yeah, it's great.
Yeah,
there's a lot of Thopters out there. There's a lot of
If you can get value on it,
this thing could kill off a Angel of Invention.
Right, or they use their Fabricator guy, and they have the 2-1, and they have the 2/1/1s, and you just pick off the thing.
How bad would it feel if you have an Angel of Invention out? Is that the card, right?
Yes. And it gets picked off
before blocks. Like, yeah, all your creatures are 1/1s now, and I just killed your best fucking thing.
Well, that's the case where you've done it wrong, casting the Angel of Invention in that.
I'm going to attack with my uncommon creature and just massacre your mythic creature. And also you're bored at the same time. Right. I mean, that's like obviously the ceiling of the card, but I think it's good. I think when compared to the dragster, which is my berry, the dragster is just so narrow. It only works in very aggressive decks. You know, if your plan is to use a vehicle in a defensive manner, blocks. I think you're setting yourself up for ruin, even though I've used the past two vehicles to describe how good they are defensively. Yeah.
I don't think I've actually blocked with a vehicle yet.
You know,
well, it's threat of activation, and I think that's
yeah. But I still don't think I've actually done it.
I've done it. Okay. I think normally the threat of the activation of the blocking with the vehicle is enough to prevent the attack in the first place.
Maybe that's why I haven't been able to block with it.
But I've done a lot of, like, you know, blocking a skiff with another skiff.
Right.
The 2-mana 2/3 flyer.
I've only really seen the vehicles in attack mode.
I've not gotten a skiff yet.
That's because they're awesome.
And common.
And common and, like, actually...
I second picked one in my
legitimately
draft
the other top day. Three pickable. I think what we're going to find is all the vehicles end up being legitimately, like, top five picks. And you're just not going to really get past vehicles very often because they can go into any deck and they're awesome in any deck.
Also like leaves you open in the draft. You know?
Leaves you open. It's just like there's no downside to picking a skiff or
there you said like
the Bowmat Bazaar. Like that's totally first pickable in my book.
I went
if my rares ask
my whole top eight draft. I actually didn't see a vehicle.
Yeah.
Like not that I just there wasn't even a time that I passed one. I literally never saw one. So. Thinking yeah, they were going somewhere else.
I will not be surprised if when the Pro Tour comes around, all the pros say the same thing, which is pick the vehicles early and often. Because I think I think the one downside with vehicles is I think it's tough to play. I don't know where the line is how many you can play in your deck.
Oh. Yeah, all you have to do is go to Star City Games and read Frank Karsten's article.
I think three is the
maximum. Three feels like the maximum. Exactly.
Three
what I was
is the
say.
Maximum.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I feel like that's what you because you can't really count them as creatures. So it's not like I can play 13 creatures and three vehicles and have 16 creatures. It's like I have
the
to pay
maximum
16
it feels
creatures.
Like the average. I think three is the average. Like you could play four.
I'm telling you.
If said, one of them's a rare, maybe.
So he says. If you look at it, he says. Like he puts some qualifiers on. He said, so
depends on how many creatures you play.
Yes. So that's the first thing. And he said, look at what the average number of creatures that you'll play, which is maybe 14, 15, something like around
which
there.
Is average for limited.
Because also, like you said, also remember that you've got, so say you're playing three vehicles, that's three slots. So you're already down to 20. Mm-hmm. What are you going to have? Four or five spells, maybe?
Right.
Right.
Better removal.
Yeah, so he basically says he wants to always be able to crew at least, so you want to have one.
This is Frank Karsten, right?
Frank Karsten, okay. Mr. Stats Guy. And he's
the Stats Guy.
That's what he's called. The people on his team call him the Stats Guy. And he's the guy that says, oh, look, you need to run 24 land because
the
you
people
have
blah, blah, blah. In all of Magic call him the Stats. He is the Stats Guy.
Yeah.
He's like the Nate Silver of Magic.
Yeah, sure.
Wasn't that 28, 38, 38, whatever.
Okay. Shut up. Keep going.
538.
Yeah, so he basically just says, you know, you have to have, like, you know, at least one creature for an art, for a vehicle. And
right.
He says, you're going to run the hypergeometric distribution that says that 90% of the time I'm sure that this will happen. And he basically says that, like, you know, for 23 cards, you're only going to realistically be able to play three artifacts or three vehicles.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Because you're going to be playing 14 or 15 creatures and five spells or something like that, that aren't the vehicles.
Right. And you need to be able to crew it 90% of the time.
Maybe you could play a fourth, but I suspect, just my gut instinct said three was the number. But,
and that's what I've heard too. When I talked to people at Versus Games, they were all like, yeah, you typically play about three vehicles because you just need to be able to crew it reliably.
Yeah. But it's nice to like see the numbers actually like pan out to what the gut instinct. And I'm actually was pretty happy that, like, you know, I've played this game long enough to get a sense of it and that it was actually right. And it's not just like, you know, bullshit, like, right. You know?
Right.
Yeah. I've been playing, you know, in my decks, all two of them, I've been playing, you know, two to three vehicles. When I was doing it, it felt like kind of a hedge, you know, it felt like a safe play. You know, I could play three vehicles, mm-hmm. And even if I don't know, you know, the ratio that I need to have, that's like, you know, I'm not going to fuck up my creature to non-creature spell mm-hmm. ratio too much.
I'm going to have enough artifacts and trigger the artifact things that I need in addition to some other artifacts that I'm going to play.
Which is totally, so in my sealed deck for the PPTQ, I actually played the third vehicle, which I was kind of like, I don't know if I want to do this. But then I was like, I had so many artifacts matters things.
Yep.
And it was trample and haste, which just kind of pushed the trample haste thing like over the top, it felt like.
Plus you had the two, I feel like Fleet Wheel Cruiser is the outlier in that it is a creature that first turn.
Yeah, it's actually not like having, it's almost not like having a vehicle.
Yeah, yeah, and I've yet to play a deck that doesn't have Fleet Wheel Cruiser in it, so.
Wow, nice, nice guys. Must be rich. Well, I played a deck in my sealed pool that had Beaumont Bazaar Barge, and I'm with you. I'll crack this guy.
Crack it.
I think baseline.
You're not going to put it in your crack?
Look, I thought we moved past this. This is season two. I know I've got adherents who really wanted me here, but like, I'm going to save it for a podcast. I'm going to slip
it in. I know me and Larry have it. I didn't know that you had. I don't know. I just feel like.
I like the Bazaar Barge. I like the draw card.
We've gotten here.
I think it's probably better on the whole defensively than it is as an offensive card. It does put your opponent into some awkward situations where if they do trade off two cards for your Beaumont Bazaar, you definitely two for one them in a big way. I think I'm going to put the Dragster in my sack.
Oh, shit.
Boom. And here's what I think.
Oh, shit.
If you do not block the Dragster...
No, you love two drops. I get it. You and Larry love two drops.
No, it's a four drop. But here's the thing about the Dragster.
Yeah, but you guys love two drops.
I do.
I think the Dragster, if you consider it more as a removal spell that will deal incidental damage to your opponent, that's what you got to think about it as. It's not so much a creature. It's a removal spell with a creature attached to it. In that...
I want to push back on that assertion.
If they do not throw something in front of the Oval Chase Dragster, they're going to get beat upside the head. Because you have to put something in front of it. Even if you put a 1-1 servo token, if you put a 3-2 or whatever else you played mana for, you have to put something in front of it because you cannot just leave a 6-1 with crew 1 on the board with trample. So if you think about it more as this is a one-turn play in which I'm going to eat a variable creature. I may not have the control over eating that creature that I would like in terms of removal spell will give me, but I will eat one of their creatures and I will deal 2 to 4 points of damage on top of that. Then it seems like this is actually a card I could see playing, and being a little bit better than I think it gets credit for.
Yeah, I just assume that it's going to die.
You assume it's going to die. You assume it's going to kill one creature on the way down, and it's going to deal 2 to 4 points of damage.
Yep. And what you were saying about it, Evan, is that just even killing, sometimes just killing a 1-1 is okay because, you know, that just means there's not a random dude just sitting around to crew
when
something.
When did I say that? I didn't say that.
You've said it now.
don't put these words in
Remember
my mouth.
You said just sometimes just killing like two, like if you just kill a creature, they keep them down, their numbers down so they can't crew things.
Well, I think I meant that in terms of, you know, if when you're killing the only creature that can crew your opponent's vehicles.
Right.
If you're the one attacking with this 6-1 and they only have one creature that can crew their own vehicle, obviously they're not going to block.
Right.
Unless they have another creature that's going to come down and be able to crew their vehicle.
My point
well.
Is, it's going to be hard for them to race a 6-1. It's going to be hard for them to race 6 power. Now, I can say
that mattering.
The thing is, I played the Basilica Charger. I had the Beaumont Bazaar and the Basilica Charger both in my sealed deck.
Ballista
Charger.
It's not a church.
Whatever.
Basilica?
I was underwhelmed by this card. It was big, but the one damage was not splashy. Like, honestly, it mostly just pinged my opponent.
It's actually directed.
What?
I don't know. Splash damage is when it hits everything.
Okay.
Direct damage. Yeah. All right.
It just wasn't confusing.
It
just wasn't.
Shut up. No, continue.
It is my Barry.
I'm saying shut up to me.
It is my Barry. I feel like there is ways to get beef in this format that doesn't rely simply on this guy. I feel like the one damage later in the game is less relevant, and that's when this guy's showing up and being a factor. Aside from it being a 6-6, the one damage didn't make this to me feel anything special as opposed to drawing a card or being undercosted and having that 6 power does with the other two. So that's why I put that.
Like, trample's the thing that
trample's really good.
I think that's what really pushes it.
Right. It's that they're going to take damage as well as trading for one of their creatures on defense.
But the other thing is also, like, you know, the thing you were talking about, Evan, like, sometimes if you're, like, doing the racing thing, if you can turn a 1-power guy into a 6-power guy, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good, especially if that 1-power guy is the 1-mana black creature.
Oh, so good. Oh,
man. You've turned your 1-power guy into a 7-power guy. Or 8.
Drain him.
Drains a little bit.
Right. That's Crack Cycle Barry. That's my Crack Cycle Barry.
Yeah, I think like, all in all, the vehicles are very, they really screw with the flow of the tempo of this format, and I think a lot of the times, it's very easy to get into a race, or
yes,
get out of a race, or, you know, it can be very swingy tempo-wise. And I think I've found in a lot of games, you know, I've had an opponent kind of go all in on a vehicle,
mm-hmm.
and then my only option really is to just try to race them.
Right. And that's where I say I look at the tempo spells that they've printed, the bounce spells particularly, the blue mana bounce spells, and say, I wouldn't be surprised if down the road we look at these tempo swinging spells as some of the marquee spells you put in your deck.
They could be very good.
Don't underestimate the fog. If you are constantly in races, overestimate it. Don't overestimate it, but don't underestimate the fog.
Don't play the fog. Just don't play the fog.
Sideboard the fog.
No, just don't play the
fog. We're supposed to be here to help people play Magic well.
Instead of...
No. You're here to help people play Magic well. I'm here for color commentary and emceeing.
No, I'm here for color commentary. You're okay. Here for...
asking dumb questions like play the fog.
You're here to say things that mean Larry can tell you to not say.
So yeah. Our listener can learn.
Yeah,
we do it all for
fog.
You. Anyways.
Just because this format is swingy doesn't mean fog is a good card. Just play another vehicle, I guess. I don't know. A removal spell? Fucking
well,
anything.
Obviously play a removal
spell. A
2-drop?
Look, if you need a fog to keep your opponent from killing you with their vehicle, just play a two-drop. You can chump block with it.
Not if it has menace. And have
or trample.
Or travel. Or if it pings that two-drop because you played the 2-1 instead of the 2-2. Well,
play the game better. I don't know. If you knew your opponent had a trample fucking thing like 5 turns ago.
Play demolish.
You don't.
Just do some work.
Because it's got haste. You don't know what's coming.
Boom.
Which card? Are we talking about the 6-1?
We're talking about the racer.
The oval chase.
I don't know. Dragster. Learn how to play around cards. Just like do some due diligence and work.
That's right.
Fog sucks. That's
Evan
like,
says learn how to play Magic better.
Yeah, learn how to play Magic, asshole.
Well, on that note, I'd love to dive into the SCG, but we ran out of time, honestly.
Yeah, it got late. Who cares? Standard happened.
Vehicles, a surprise, also warped the limited. I mean, the constructed format.
This was
warped
is a strong word.
A vehicle. Looter Scooter was insane. Let's see if it holds for week 2. Is this a flash in the pan? I don't know. Time will tell.
I think, I can't remember who said it during the tournament, but I think they were correct when they said Looter Scooter will define the format, but it will not make the format.
That is wise.
Evan Irwin said it.
Did he?
Yep.
I don't know. I don't think that's who I heard it from, but... Yeah. Someone said, you know, it'll define the format. You got to have answers to it.
Yeah.
If you don't have answers to it, you're going to get screwed. You got to be able to deal with this card.
All I got to say, you can shit on me all you want, but this was my fave 5, and I said exactly this. This format will come down to how do you answer your opponent's Looter Scooter? How do they answer your Looter Scooters?
Honestly, though.
Was not wrong. I'm out.
I will contend. I'm going to put this contention out there right now. When the Pro Tour comes around, the ability to deal with or not to deal with the Looter Scooter will be
answered.
That's not an issue in the Pro Tour.
This is this weekend, right?
No, it's next weekend.
Really?
I think they have 2 weeks now.
I think it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, we get one more weekend of proto standard.
I'm pretty sure when the Pro Tour comes around, the Looter Scooter won't matter at all.
People will figure out how to take the wheels off the Looter Scooter.
The Looter Scooter won't have 32 in the top 8.
Yeah.
No, but it probably will show up in the top 8. I'd be willing to put a faux bet on it, but that's for another podcast. In the meantime, though, if you want to reach us...
Oh, Lord.
Or check out Larry's top 8 PPTQ winning deck lists, you can check out what, Evan?
Probably Wizards of the... Facebook.com/Wizards of the Cast.
Boom!
Assuming Larry puts that shit up there...
Or Larry sends the picture to you.
Right. To Evan, and Larry will do it.
You have admin access to that Facebook page.
Admin, right? Do you? Admin resolve? Less so. Admin access? Certainly.
If not, I'll make sure you have it by, I don't know, eventually.
Tomorrow.
By tomorrow.
Anyways, you can also tweet at us.
Yeah.
You can tweet at us. We have Twitter accounts.
We have lively Twitter discussions with our fans.
Oh, real lively. Thanks to Juan.
We can discuss
the one and only Juan.
Discuss the merits of
the one and only
Tweety Bird. Yeah. Anyways, Evan, how can people tweet at you?
I'm at NobodyRLY.
Larry, how can people tweet at you?
At ChetFiend.
I am at KColeF. And also, if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can email us as well.
Oh, email. Shit, dude.
That still exists.
I blew up our email server.
Oh, no.
That's a lie. Our email server exists on Gmail. It's gmail.com. wizardsofthecast@gmail.com.
There we go.
Send your shit.
Cricket, cricket.
Say the things you want to say.
In the meantime, wait for us to say the things we want to say next week.
Yeah, which we're going to say. But until then...
That's the end. Come on now.
What's our sign up?
For Wizards of the Cast.
For Wizards of the Cast, I'm Evan Wardell.
I'm Larry Chatfield.
I'm Cole Ferriolo, and I apologize.
And thank you for listening, Cricket.